An IMF-EU bailout team is arriving in the Irish capital Dublin Wednesday to review whether the government there is sticking to the terms of the 85 billion euro program of aid. Under discussion will be the progress of public sector reform and changes to wage-setting systems for low earners. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Director of Social Justice Ireland, Father Sean Healy. He says that despite government initiatives, the lack of opportunities is leading people to leave the country to find work.
Are we seeing more emigration? Are people deciding that because they can't get a job, they're deciding to move? Or are people waiting to see if things will improve?
I think people waiting to see the situation improve is over. We are actually experiencing substantial emigration out of Ireland, net emigration. That means more people emigrating than are coming into the country. And interestingly enough, that has been a pattern in Ireland going back to the middle of the 19th century when we had this so-called famine, the potato famine, that killed a million people in the country, and another million emigrated mostly to the United States and to a few other countries. We didn't have much emigration in the sort of period from the late 90s to maybe up to 2007-8. Other than voluntary immigration. In fact, Ireland became a country in which there was an enormous number of migrants coming into it from European countries and other places as well. Now, what we see is a reversal out of that. But there's a difference now as the immigration is rising, that quite a substantial proportion of those who are emigrating from Ireland are not Irish people. They are people who came to Ireland in the previous decade seeking work, got good work and were employed and were paid well in a variety of areas, particularly in areas like construction and so on. And now that work is no longer there, those jobs are no longer there, and now they're leaving and going back to their own country or going off to where somewhere they may believe that there's possibility for their skills to be used so that they can actually get a job. So that is a reality. But because of the fact that Ireland is quite a young population, it still has a situation where its population is growing because of the fact that it has more young to middle-aged people rather than older people, which is not characteristic of most European countries. That's an unusual demographic in terms of Europe. But that's the situation we're in, and I think we're looking at a situation now where there will be continuing emigration, but the population will not be going down in Ireland, that is.
What is the government doing with regard to getting people back into the workplace, with regard to initiatives?
Well, the government has done quite a number of things, in fairness. It has introduced a series of programs for training people. It has introduced an internship program in the private sector. It has given very substantial tax breaks to businesses for employing people, so they have to pay less tax on the salaries of people that they would employ, and so on. They have brought in a very specific jobs initiative just a couple of months ago, in which they did a lot of work. Took a lot of initiatives to tackle the unemployment situation. However, the major problem we have with it is that it is not on a scale that is required. It's not on the scale required to substantially make an impact on the numbers unemployed. Like, for example, they started a new program yesterday, an internship program. It will eventually take 5,000 people off the live register of people unemployed and into internships for 6 to 9 months in businesses. Okay? But when you have a number of the number unemployed is like 450,000, on that, and you take 5,000 off it, you put a huge amount of effort into getting that 5,000 off, but I think they need to face up to the fact that the scale isn't sufficient. Now, our view of it in Social Justice Ireland is that, again, like I was saying about the other issues, that they need to have a more radical approach and that they need to do two things urgently. One is that they need to do whatever is required in the sort of discussions that go on with the International Monetary Fund and the European Central Bank and the European Commission on the issue of the bailout agreement that Ireland has. Because at this moment, there is no money available to Ireland to try to build up its infrastructure or whatever investment in the economy. And the result is that obviously there's very little growth, very little if any, like 0% GDP growth in the last quarter, 0% in 2010, the whole year. And the first quarter of this year on GNP has fallen by over 3% in one quarter. Now, that may be a statistical blip. We'll see as the time goes by. But it does show you a trend that GNP is not growing and that GDP is stuck at zero or close to zero. In that situation, there will be no job creation of any substance because you need growth of 3-4% to get some serious growth, to get some jobs flowing from it. And that may actually only follow after a period of jobless growth as well, which is another story. But anyway, so that's one issue that they need to deal with, getting some kind of an arrangement with the IMF, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission to be able to put in that kind of investment. If they don't do that, then I'm afraid the IMF and the European Central Bank and so on will never get their money back that they had loaned to Irish banks originally. And now that the Irish taxpayer has taken aboard all of the liabilities, which I think is another day's discussion, but I would have serious moral issues about and questions about what has actually happened there. But anyway, given the fact of where we are, that's one of the issues that government needs to deal with. On the other side, they also need to take initiatives to create positions for people who are long-term unemployed. And we have actually piloted a program. Social Justice Ireland has piloted a program way back in the 1990s in which we showed how you could actually create real part-time jobs for long-term unemployed people, paying the going hourly rate for the job, whatever the going hourly rate for the job was. People would be paid that. And they'd work the number of hours required to get their social welfare payment plus maybe €20 a week. After that, they were free to take up another part-time job. After not as they so wished, they didn't lose any of their social welfare benefits. But if they weren't into the tax net because they earned more money, well, they'd pay tax like everybody else. That actually worked very well when we piloted it across the country in six different pilot areas, including the islands off the west coast. And it worked very, very well. And it was mainstreamed back at the end of the last recession, or towards the end of it, in 1997. But then it obviously wasn't required anymore, so it dried up, which is the way it should be. But these jobs would be available not in the private sector, because there's always a problem with displacement there, that job people would be replacing other people that would be laid off. But you can guarantee that won't happen in the public sector and also in the community and voluntary sector and local organizations and so on. And so therefore what we're recommending is that the government take initiative to along these lines that would create 100,000 part-time jobs paying the going hourly rate on a completely voluntary basis for people who are long-term unemployed, and creating those jobs in the public sector, everything from government departments right down to local libraries, and also in the community and voluntary sector. And we certainly feel that an initiative of that kind of scale and with that type of approach is what's required at the moment. And we've already put that to government, and we'll see what happens in due course.
Just regarding, I suppose we should point out that Ireland isn't the only country in this type of predicament. We've only to look down the road at Greece to see what's going on at the moment there with their austerity packages. They're also in the same type of boat, although the response there has been from the public's response that's been more fraught. Ireland's response from the people seems to have been more muted.
There's a certain illusion there, simply because Irish people don't go out breaking windows and firing stones at police and breaking into Parliament and stuff of that nature does not mean that Irish people aren't mad as hell on this stuff. There is an extraordinary anger in Ireland, and there is a very, very negative assessment of a number of things. One, of how we got into this process in the first place, or into the situation, through a combination of very bad regulation. Bankers who basically were gamblers, not bankers, and a very low interest rate imposed on Ireland by the European Central Bank, because Ireland, while Ireland was growing at 8 and 10% a year, Germany was basically growing at 0.5% a year, or 1%. And as a result, what the European Central Bank did was it kept interest rates very low, down at 1%, to help the German and the French economies as well, because they were both on the floor at the time. So what happened was, in Ireland's situation, where the actual interest rate should have been raised substantially to stop people from borrowing crazy amounts of money for crazy purposes, instead of that, what happened is the reverse. Now we see where the story is, in the sense that the situation is the other way around. Germany and France are growing very well, so interest rates are raised. Ireland is on the floor, but there's absolutely no recognition by the European Central Bank of that reality, that we need. There's a law for the Germans and the French, and there's a law for the Irish and the Greeks. Well, again, Ireland would always say it's not Greece, is another story, because our situation is quite different. We don't have a bloated public service in the same in the way that Greece has. Our actual borrowing and the debt that we've incurred was incurred not by the state at all, but by banks and developers, and what the government did, and very wrongly in my view, was that they took aboard as the state, they took aboard all the debt that the banks had incurred. Now we have a situation where a situation of moral hazard where the banks are concerned, because banks can invest and go way beyond investing and actually gambling very large amounts of money and getting high levels of interest, because they are gambling in that context. That was what was going on. But they also know that when if the gamble doesn't work out, that they will get 100% of their money back, because the European Central Bank and the IMF are going to insist that banks get every single penny back. In fact, I think that is probably more likely to be the situation, the position of the European Central Bank, than it is of the IMF. I think the IMF sees it a bit differently. But in this context, it's the European Central Bank, which is an institution that has absolutely no political answerability anywhere. So what we have is a small number of European bankers working in the interest of banks and against poor people, against the ordinary citizen. So in Ireland at the moment, what we're seeing is a transfer of resources from poor people and middle-income people to banks, in German and French banks, not banks in Ireland. So the result is that what we're looking at really is a dispossession process. This is what, in many ways, the bailout agreement actually is, a process in which poor people in Ireland are being dispossessed. Their welfare rates are being cut, their services are being cut, they are having to pay for services that they don't have money to pay for, or that they received for free before. They have all their resources being taken away, so that we can, in fact, pay back gambling bankers who took insane gambles with money and lost. And it is a bit like, if your listeners understand gambling on horses, for example, on horse races, that's like somebody putting a bet on a horse race, and the horse comes in last, and then the person who put on the bet goes down to collect not just their bet money back, but the interest on it as well. That is what is going on at the moment. And Ireland, as a result of what it has decided to do, or been forced to do actually by the European Central Bank and the European Commission, Ireland now is in a situation where it has incurred enormous sovereign debt, national debt, to pay off these debts of the banks that had gambled and so on, and in effect pay back German banks principally and French banks to a lesser extent, and fund this one. But basically it's French and German banks paying those back for immoral activity, as I would see it, that they were involved in gambling with money they should not have been gambling with in the first place. Now, I would challenge the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission to engage in a discussion on those issues, because it's very interesting that they have refused to engage in any discussion with anybody on those kinds of issues, What they've done is they've basically used their muscle with the governments to insist that the government has to actually accept these bailout terms. For some reason or other, they believe no bank should be left go to the wall. No bank should have to bear the cost of its own reckless actions or whatever. And that is the absolute definition of moral hazard in any Catholic moral theology. And it's totally unacceptable as a basis for which to do business. We have a deeply immoral problem, an immoral action. Sorry, it's obviously a problem. We have a deeply a deep immorality, if you like, at the heart of the business model that is driving all of this at the moment. And I think there's a great challenge there for people who believe in Catholic theology to actually face up to those kinds of issues and engage with them, deal with them, respond to them, analyze them, and so on, critique them.